Hello, everybody. Babette and I will talk for a few minutes while we set up the short.
I've forgotten, what is it called? Je, nous,
oui, c'est ça.
I,
yeah.
Or I,
yeah.
Us.
Yeah. Us. We'll just talk briefly. We'll show the short because we want to have some time for interaction with the audience. As we haven't got much time, Robert, shall we talk a bit about your past, or shall we go straight into talking about the film?
My past is not so interesting. You know, I don't think films are made by, they're made by people, obviously, and my films are made mostly by me because I'm practically always work alone with an assistant and, you know, somebody driving the car when I'm sitting on the hood of the car to shoot the street, you know. And sometimes I spend more money because I need to rent a Steadicam, so I have to rent a operator of the Steadicam because the machine of the Steadicam is really a corset which does not accept breast of women. So definitely needed somebody there. So, but you know, I produce my own film with my own money, so it's always done in the improvisational mode in many ways. Yeah.
But I did want to ask you a couple of practical things to start with. As I mentioned in my introduction, I assume that when you were trained as a cinematographer in Paris, you worked with 35mm.
Yes, actually, yes. In my school we had only 35mm, yeah. But I was smart enough to buy a 16 camera. Yeah. So I could practice and make my first film on the first year in 16. And obviously all the camera work I did when I was in Paris, which essentially was being an assistant to somebody who was very, very influential for me, and also a great filmmaker who taught me a lot, Marcel Hanoun. And Marcel Hanoun actually had a great resonance in my life because I worked on four seasons. He made four films, which have the title of the season. The first one is L'été, done in the summer 1968. The second one is Winter, L'hiver, done in Bruges, in Belgium. The third one is Spring, Le Printemps. And the fourth one is L'automne, Fall. Fall, I signed as a DP, as a director of photography, but the three others I signed as an assistant camera. But I was also doing the light, and I learned an enormous amount during those three films as an AC, and the film de printemps made me meet Annette Michelson.
Oh, really?
Yes. Yeah. And she loved the film, and the film is extraordinary, and if you want, you can go Google, and you can find it somewhere on the streaming service, okay? Because those films, which are absolutely extraordinary, we have also a great actor, Michel Lonsdale, en français, was really a great actor, who was in all the film of Marcel, about the Four Seasons, and at the same time work with Marguerite Duras and work later on James Bond movies, so had a career which is still continuing now, and he's very diverse, but at that time he was essentially a theater actor and working on art film, if you want. And I started working for Marcel as an assistant editor. Le procès de Carl Emanuel Jung, which I did leaving film school. So I met him because the first film I shot as an AC in 35 was actually at a film festival in Greece. Marcel was the head of the jury. He gave a prize, the first prize, to that film. So when I learned then, you know, somebody living in France and in my neighborhood, had given me a prize. Give a prize to a film I had worked on, Twin People, I'd worked on the film, so it was not a big production. But I went to meet him, and he said, can you help me? I cannot pay you. I said, fine.
Yes.
That's it. So
that's
fantastic. Yes.
So, but then when you moved to the US, when you moved to New York, you moved into a world where everybody was shooting on 16.
Very few people were shooting, and the people who were shooting with non-professional cameras, as far as I'm concerned, because they were shooting with the Bolex, Quen camera. But it's true, the experimental film was shooting 16, and that was the only thing which was pragmatic in terms of cost. Yeah.
Yes.
So for me, it's really strange because people think shooting 16 is easier because it's smaller, but it's not. It's much more difficult to do a clean image and a good image in 16. Mm. So I think as a camera person, I really put 16 on the map in my world, actually in the experimental film community, because my film always looked like so professionally made,
Exactly.
But so
because even Jean Dierman
was shot 35.
That was shot 35.
Yeah.
Right.
And it's easier to do a good image in 35, frankly.
Yes. Yeah.
You know, that's smooth now because that world does not exist anymore.
So perhaps we can just talk a little bit about Caméra Jeu. And I want to keep an eye on the time. Mark, can you hear me?
Oh.
No, we don't want
a short film yet.
Just a moment. Yeah. We have to keep an eye on the time. So I just wanted to talk a little bit about the three parts, because they're quite distinct. Now, once upon a time, somewhere, I bet you said that it's up to the spectator to put a narrative to your films. And that in this film particularly, you were stripping out narrative, you were interested in process. But I don't know what other people felt, but for me, in the middle section of New York, I felt as though you were, that the person making the film was a foreigner, and were looking around and waiting for a familiarity and a confidence with the urban scape, in order to be able to shoot.
Pretty good. Yeah, I must say the part...
I think I passed that one.
The part with the building is really my life. You know, I was mugged. Somebody wanted to steal my still camera. I was making a living doing still photography. You know, I pay for that film doing still photographs. So I could not have my still camera stolen, you know. So I... So a little bit... But I want also to celebrate the fact that aggression keeps you on your toes in many ways and give you the energy to fight. So I felt New York was, a very lonely place, at the same time totally empty, especially in the neighborhood where I was living, which is the one I come out from the loft to find that chaos, because it's lunchtime and everybody's out going to lunch, but actually at 5 o'clock everybody is gone because there's nobody living there, you know. So I really felt this kind of extreme of violence in terms of the sound and also of quietness in terms of nobody being there.
Yes.
And also, when they are there, they are intrusive to the cast iron district of Soho, and they insult the tourists there.
But also there's a kind of harshness of light and dark and so on. I think we're going to have to show the film now.
I want to explain how that short film makes sense after Caméra Jeu.
So
because
you,
the two can be taught together.
Yeah. So will you just explain?
Yeah. So it's the film is 8 minutes long, and all the footage was shot in two different sections. One, at the time I was doing Caméra Jeu, but it's things I did not use. And the other one was shot when I was trying to do something which is about space, and it's called The Space We Deserve, a project which was never done as a film, but later on as an installation in 2008, and had a different title. So it's about love space in New York, and that was shot in the 90s. And I needed to actually, for a research project, do reflect on the concept of subjectivity in Kermager, and I felt that mixing those two different kind of footage and adding, because I was going to edit something which had been shot in 16, I was going to edit in digital and use After Effects, so I could write on the image and also put title and so on. So the film is finished as a video, as an HD file, and is my first foray in, I think, as a film. Because it's something which is self-reflexive. Most of my film have a certain element of self-reflexivity, but this one is definitely mostly self-reflexive on images and also moment in sensation.
Wonderful.
So it's something which is also linked with Kermager.
Great. Can we show
Okay, so we're going to start the screening of the show.
Thank you.